This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop with your hosts, Don McLean, from Jason and Alexis in the Morning on My Talk 107.1, Garage Logic's newsman, Mr. FYI, John Hite, and the crabbiest guy in the coffee shop, Kenny Olson.
Let's start with an email from Steve regarding 921, the Krabby Coffee Shop podcast. Dear Kenny, hopefully this will enhance your crabby and translate to a more enjoyable listening experience for your audience.
Ouch. Wow.
And please pass this along to Ross and Johnny Guitar. That is 1 hour of my life I'll never get back. Caveat, I realized Dawn was absent, but with what the hell? Did you even try? Were you just killing time? P.S. I grew up playing with jarts, too. I took one in the back trying to duck out of the way after we threw them straight up in the air playing chicken. Oh. I forgot about chicken. We used to do that, too. That was the most fun part about it.
With jarts? I never did that. I was too.
You know what else?
Safe, conscious.
What else we played chicken with, John, is I had a bow and arrow. You know, it wasn't a fancy compound bow. But, you know, in the hardware store arrows.
Are you still alive, Kenny?
We shoot those straight up in the air and then try to, you know.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Every story he tells, John, is about skirting death.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I produced a morning show once upon a time, and we always had the wonderful Mitch Hedberg on. Yeah. As a guest, he was on two or three times, and in studio and off air, he'd be great. And what he would say to what you just said is, oh man, that is a rural bleep. Only he would say the bleep.
My wife says that a lot.
She does.
Still new to the country. She's still getting used to the way we behave. I reverted back to country behavior right away. I mean, literally within one day, I was back to being my old self that grew up here. We don't really have much planned for today. And Steve, we didn't do a lot of my show prep, to be honest with you, was mostly daydreaming. Ross, going to say something?
Well, this is how I know the podcast has really gone off the rails in the last year. When I joined this podcast, the first thing that happened was, for probably about a month, you ripped every story that I sent you.
Yeah, they're awful. Yeah. They're still awful.
Yeah, but now for the last month, you've used almost every story that I've sent you as content.
Speaking of two of the worst stories I've ever seen in my life, you sent to us. And I like them both. Well, I don't like them, but we're going to do them anyway.
One's comical because of how dumb it is.
And it really... How can you hold your head up as a journalist and a writer, or even a news publication? I guess this isn't a publication. It's more of a press release. But it's from, what is it from, Ross? Explore Minnesota?
Yeah, I think I got it at exploreminnesota.com.
That's a government organization, right? That's the government? Yeah. So we have 10 things to do in Minnesota this fall, endorsed by the government. This is what the government recommends you you do this fall.
Did you pre-read this, John?
I just looked at it, to be truthful, last evening.
You won't be surprised by anything that's on it. There's nothing where you go, okay.
And it's just so lame. And the TV stations and the paper are just as guilty. That's why I brought up publications. Most because this is just space and time killers, right? And that's basically why we're doing them here, right?
100%.
This is by a young lady named Erica Walker. Apple picking, football, and pumpkin flavored everything can only mean one thing. Fall has arrived in Minnesota. This special season is short and sweet, so make the most of it by checking at least a few of these awesome autumn activities off your list. Number one, visit a pumpkin patch.
Huh. Do you do that every year?
Also, I was just going to say, before you respond, Kenny, when you read each one, John and I should guess if you would ever be caught doing one of these things.
Okay.
I knew you would not do a pumpkin patch. That's 0 for 1.
But I've already today visited my own pumpkin patch.
Oh, you have one?
Yes. I was instructed to move the blankets off the tomatoes this morning. So that's the closest I've been to the garden since July.
Can we come and visit your pumpkin patch?
Yeah, go ahead. That's just fine. Is it okay if I stay in the house?
Is this a euphemism for something that I'm not picking up on?
It should be. Number two, pick your own apples.
Sure. Everybody does that.
I think Kenny would do that on his own property. He's not going to an orchard.
Again, you're right, Ross. Okay. I have apple trees and I pick my own apples.
My wife and I visited the apple orchard of Terry Train about 2 weeks ago. She has one in Watertown.
Yeah.
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Thanks for the invite.
Lucelline. I never know how to say it. I don't want to screw it up, Terry. Yeah. So I'm sure Terry listens.
Loose, I think. Isn't it loose?
Loose something. Yeah, that was fun. We had a blast, actually.
Did you talk to Terry?
No, we didn't ask if she was around. There's a lot of employees, and we didn't, you know. You know me, I'm kind of shy. I didn't want to go. Terry here?
Yeah, hi. I just want to say hi, big fan. I listened to you for a long time.
Terry, you want to come on a lowly rated podcast once a week?
She probably would, but what are we going to talk about? What did you do last Friday?
Last Friday?
You were off.
I don't know why.
The GL podcast, and you claimed that you and the bride were going to do something, and we accused
you. Oh, we did, actually.
Going somewhere and holding hands and walking arm in arm.
No,
you know what we actually did? We went to the casino and lost some money.
Oh, well, that's all right. See, now that right there is better than any of the things on this list. Go to a casino, lose some money.
Lose all your money.
Be an American.
No, we didn't lose it all. We won some, and, you know, we ended up in the minus category, though.
Do you at least have a good dinner or lunch? Almost every casino in this town has great food.
Yeah, we had fun. It was fun. We went to Treasure Island.
Did you fill up gas at that gas station there or in Hastings?
I didn't. I already had gas. But there were low prices all the way there at gas stations.
Notoriously low prices down there. Yep. Number three, visit a museum on a cold or rainy day. Duck into a museum for a day's worth of fun and learning.
See, now this one I would say yes, but it has to be a museum of special interest to Kenny.
Yeah. And I've got to be alone. There's nothing worse than being with somebody else or even worse yet, a child in a museum for adults.
Yeah, even at the Children's Museum, kids should not be allowed. 100%. 100%.
I couldn't agree with you more.
There's stuff I want to see there, and the kids ruin it for me.
What, John?
In this story, Kenny, if you keep going, I think a museum you would love to visit is in there.
Okay.
The Spam Museum.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've never been to that, but, you know, what is it? It's a building full of spam. Right?
Yes, I don't know.
How long can that take you to get through? I've never been there either, but that can't take long.
I don't know. It
should be drive-through.
Actually, Johnny, you're a big baseball guy, right?
I am.
Save that for later, Ross. Save it.
Is there something to...
Coming up on the horn.
Oh, okay, cool.
Take a drive. Take a drive. Fall drive. Scenic byway. Bemidji State Park. Yeah.
See, now, I think Kenny would do that again, but it's not to see the colors. It's probably just to have a smoke and get away from the roommate.
Yeah, if I'm at, like, relative's house, I always have to go for a drive for about 8 hours during the day just to get the hell away.
Do you show up at Thanksgiving, drop off the roommate, then return to pick her up hours later?
No, but Ross, and this has been the case since the very first day we were married, we always go to family events in separate cars.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
I show up late and I leave
That's
early.
Beautiful.
Kenny, let me interrupt you once more. No, let me interrupt you before. Number four there that you just read, just to prove how lame this whole thing is, the last sentence of this road trip one is, download a pack of our road trip and bingo cards for the regions of Minnesota that you plan to explore this fall. Can you imagine?
No, I'm not going to do that. See a show? The birthplace of Bob Dylan, Prince, Mason Jennings, and more. Minnesota has no shortage of great music. See a show.
But why wouldn't you? You could see a show 365 days a year.
Right. It's fall. Get off your ass. Go see a show. Sip the local flavors. A beer flight at Fitzker's Brewery in Duluth. Yeah,
Kenny would do this. He would do this if the conditions were right.
Yeah, probably not. There's nothing for me more annoying than drunk people. Unless I myself am intoxicated.
And drunk and hipsters.
And I'm seldom intoxicated. Very, very seldom. So probably not. And drunk hipster. Well, drunk anybody is irritating to me. Cheer for the home team. The Vikings, Gophers, Minnesota United. Among the local teams to root for this fall. You notice they didn't throw the Twins in there.
Yeah, that's not very nice.
You know why the Twins, I just learned this. You know why the Twins never make the playoffs, or at least when they do, they don't have success. They've lost 18 playoff games
suck?
In a row. No, their team calendar doesn't go past September.
Oh.
Jeez.
Dude.
That's funny.
The new rim shot is just going to be Keddy going, that's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. Hilarious. Attend a harvest festival. Guess the weight of the biggest pumpkin at the Stillwater Harvest Festival.
Woohoo!
Pumpkin weigh-offs. God, I bet that is exciting, huh? Scarecrow contests. Oh, my goodness. Craft fairs. Booyahs. Oh, Jimmy was having a booyah in South St. Paul. Did we miss that?
Are we done with this yet?
No, we're here to kill time, Dawn. Celebrate Oktoberfest. New Ulm calls itself the world's most German town, and they do Oktoberfest in a big way. I might do that, Ross. I could really do that.
New Ulm as a town. I love events for the most part, but events where there's going to be a lot of intoxicated people, I'm not sure I love that. But, you know, I think most October... Well, actually, no, I'm not going to speak on this. I was going to say I think they're fairly calm, but no, they're not.
Okay, if I was a kid, meaning 20s, more than 5,000 carved glowing pumpkins at the Minnesota Zoo at the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular. Mm-hmm. That's got to be kind of trippy, huh?
We did that when Dylan was young.
Is it cool?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. You just walk along a path and there's various carved pumpkins that are all lit up. It was cool.
I'd see it for the right price.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Would it be better, John? How do I phrase this? Would it be better if you visited that pumpkin patch with Timothy Leary? Or
yes.
Ken Kesey.
That would be, or yeah, it would be Owsley. Very interesting. At that point, it'd be very interesting.
Yeah, that's about the only thing that would make it interesting for me. So that was just a preview of things to do in Minnesota. And again, that's a government list, so take it as you will.
The museums, quickly. Can I hop in there?
Yeah.
Johnny, have you ever been to a St. Paul Saints game at the new stadium?
I have, yes.
Have you walked into the City of Baseball Museum?
I have, yes.
That is very cool.
Very nice.
It's very quick to... I mean, you can take long if you want, but I went through it again for the first time in a couple years this season. Really cool stuff.
Really cool. If you're a baseball guy, you'd love it.
Yeah.
No question.
Learn a lot about baseball in St. Paul.
Okay. Yep. Well, let's go with baseball first for the lead. You can hear me shuffling through my... papers here, because there's a story in the Reader's Digest, and I have to say, I know it's out of my demo, but I've always loved the Reader's Digest.
I didn't know it still existed, to be true.
I think it might just exist online.
Going to like a dentist or a doctor's office and reading that little square Reader's Digest.
Yep.
I used to love the bad jokes that were in there. I know that'll come as a surprise.
Me too. I'd just keep turning pages till you got to those little things on the bottom. Read them.
That was how I learned about this History Channel show, Curse of Oak Island. Okay. The two guys from Upper Michigan that now own that island, Laguna Brothers, they first heard about Oak Island when they were kids, as I did, reading a story about it in Reader's Digest. Yeah. And that's how they learned about it. And I've always enjoyed it. Like, my grandma had it, so I always read the Reader's Digest.
Of course, grandma had it.
So you sent us this Reader's Digest piece, 55 Great Road Trips, The Great American Road Trip. I thought it was interesting. I pulled out a bunch of them to talk about it. Some of them I've done, some of them I haven't. But the one I know you've done a number of these with your son, Dill John, A Midwest Baseball Road Trip. Many of America's best ballparks are situated within easy drives of one another in the Midwest, making a baseball road trip easy and amazing anytime from March to early October. So let's say within driving distance of us, John, obviously we have downtown Minneapolis, but then we have Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got two ballparks in Chicago.
Correct.
And
Kansas City.
Kansas City. That would be it, wouldn't it?
What do you count as drivable?
St. Louis. You can, throw St. Louis in there.
Detroit, you can do in a day.
Oh, yeah, Detroit, too.
Detroit.
Yeah. If you want to go to Detroit. Which ballparks have you been to with Dylan?
We went to Kansas City, saw the Royals, which was a blast because we didn't realize it. I got tickets, and it ended up being the last series of the season. And it was a Friday night, the first game we went to, and they had fireworks afterwards. And, you know, they still do, but they had the fountains in back at this time.
Sure.
And they did all the fireworks above and behind the fountains, and it was gorgeous, and it lasted a half hour.
Were they playing the Twins?
No. I think they were playing the Orioles, if I recall.
Is that part of the equation, or does that not figure in who they're playing?
Not really. I would love to always go see the Yankees or Twins if I had a choice, one of those two teams. But no, it hasn't in the series as we've gone to. I did go to Milwaukee with Dylan, and this will mean nothing unless you're a baseball fan. It was right after the Brewers, who were on a pennant push that season, acquired CC Sabathia from the Indians, and it was the first game he pitched for Milwaukee. So it was a real playoff kind of atmosphere because Brewers fans were nuts at that point.
And he was dominant that game, wasn't he, if I remember?
He was. Yep. I did not like that park so much, though. I thought it was very...
it's an airport hangar.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Just like a hangar. That's what it reminded me of.
What's it called? Is it called County Stadium?
Isn't it Miller Park?
It was Miller Park, but it got renamed this year to something different, and I don't remember what it was.
I do have a story that goes along with that, and it's kind of off the beaten path. But Dylan and I went down there, and we stayed at a hotel in Milwaukee that offered a shuttle to the ballpark and a shuttle back. Obviously.
Oh, is this for a baseball game, John? I thought this was football, this story.
No, this was a baseball game. And so we went out to meet the shuttle at the end of the game where we were supposed to meet it. And somebody said, well, they already left, even though we weren't late. So we're standing in front of Miller Stadium or whatever it's called, going, huh, what do we do now? And Dylan, I think, was 11, maybe 12 at the time. So we just stood there as I contemplated what the hell we should do. And, you know, I was at the game. We didn't drive there. So I may have had a few beers at that point trying to figure it. So in my addled mind, I just stood there basically trying to figure out what to do. And a large van drove up.
Yeah.
Like a passenger van.
Yeah.
And the guy said, you okay? I said, well, we got left by a shuttle. I told him what hotel we were at, and he goes, okay, well, I'm a bar shuttle, but I can go by there, hop in, and I'll give you guys a ride because you look like you could use it. We get in the van. The guy sitting across from us is hammered, completely hammered. As it turns out, he owns the bar that this shuttle is going to.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, he's gabbing with us, and Dylan's on my other side, so he can see him, but I suppose he was drunk enough. He didn't know.
By gabbing, is he also spitting all over you when he talks?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, you know, one of the high boys,
leaning in. Yeah.
And he says when we get to his bar, which he owned, as I found out during conversation, he says, well, you guys come on in, I'll get you a beer. Well, again, Dylan's 11 or 12. I said, no, thanks. We're just going to continue on here and go to our drop-off. So the guy drops everybody off. Okay? We're the only two left on the shuttle. He goes, all right, I'll take you to the hotel. And I said, thank you very much. He takes us to the hotel. I slipped him a 20, of course, because basically he saved whatever, saved our butts. So we get off. Okay, that was the good early part of the evening. About an hour later, Dylan says, I'm really hungry. And there's an SA across the street. I said, all right, let's. It might have been a 7-Eleven at that point. Let's go over there. Wasn't the greatest part of town. We walk over there. There is a youngster in front. And by youngster, I mean a guy maybe 23, 24,
yeah.
Whacked out of his mind, talking to himself. Just, and then I think I said, so I'm Dill's very scared at this point. Well, so am I, but Dill mostly. We walked by. I said, just keep going, Dill. Just keep
going. Got to get those grill dogs, though.
Yeah, those rolling meat logs.
Oh, yeah. We walk in, and the fella behind the counter basically said to ignore the guy out front. He's always out front at night. I said, okay, and we got us some chips and a pop or whatever, and we went back to the hotel. But it was an interesting trip anyway, so not just the baseball part.
I'm picturing Jay from Clerks standing out front, just harassing everybody walking in and out of the store.
He wasn't so much harassing people in that he was just having a conversation.
In his own world.
Doing his own deal.
And looking like he was going to climb the building at any second, if you know what I mean.
Tweaking a little bit.
I do want to point out on your topic of stadiums, Kenny, there are a number of really good minor league stadiums and independent baseball stadiums within driving distance, too.
Want to hear something shameful?
Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, Fargo, Sioux Falls.
I've never been to the Saints ballpark.
Any of them or the new one?
The new one.
I think you'd enjoy it.
The new one has got to be 10 years old by now. Can we stop calling it the new one?
I think it opened in 2014, 2015, something like that. But yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. It's fun. I've been there, I think, 3 times.
I was at the old one where the train went through the outfield. That was a lot of fun. That was
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, so as John alluded to, whenever the train came by, PA guy would say train. Well, now they're down near the St. Paul Airport, and it doesn't happen as frequently, but you do get a couple planes a game, and now he'll just say, plane.
You guys have been to Wrigley, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I also have a Wrigley story. Isn't this weird? Strange things happen to me. We went to a night game, which was a blast, then we went to a day game the next day.
Yeah.
And we had seats in right field. And we sit down, and the guy beside me immediately falls asleep. hammered. The guy was hammered already. This is noon, noon on a whatever, Wednesday.
I mean, that's early.
Chicagoans are so awesome.
Well,
so
but here's the sad part of the story. Beside him is about a 10-year-old girl.
Oh.
That's the sad part. So he stays asleep until about the fifth inning. She's enjoying the game. She's cheering, that kind of stuff, and she'll look at me when somebody hits a home run, And about the fifth inning, he does the thing where he's, and he sits up and starts watching the game, and he starts talking ball with me, So what happened? What's going on? Who hit the home run? And that was it. And he was wide awake the rest of the game and seemed fine. So apparently he just needed a little nap.
He needed
50-minute nap.
Yeah, he needed that boo snooze, John, to be able to make it through the rest of the day.
Boo snooze.
Yeah.
What about
that was fun, though. I enjoyed
old
it.
Old and new Kaminsky?
I never went. I didn't go. We didn't go.
Yeah.
I don't think the White Sox were home, as I recall. When we were there.
I have been there, and I've been there a couple times during phases of the remodel. I've been there a couple times in the last few years, actually. They've turned it into a pretty nice ballpark. They've done some nice renovations to it.
They've renovated the new Kaminsky?
Yeah, well, they put a fair... They renovated it, and then they added, within the last couple of years, you can now walk around the entire stadium, and they put a big scoreboard in center field or right field.
Sure.
And they replaced all the seats, if you remember. The first time I was there was the mid-2000s. All the seats were blue. Now every seat's been changed out to be green. And they now go by, they have one of the most ridiculous names in baseball. It is, I'm sure you've seen the commercials for Guaranteed Rate. They are now, it used to be Kaminsky into U.S. Cellular, which the locals didn't love, and it was U.S. Cellular for probably a decade. Now it is Guaranteed Rate Field.
I hate the naming of fields like that. I just hate it. The roommate and I were at the old one, and then as soon as the new one was built, we went to a game at the new one, and
didn't even make it to our seats.
Now, by new one, did they renovate it, or did they actually build a new Comiskey Stadium?
They built a new one.
Okay.
They built a new one, yeah, didn't they?
Yeah. In what year-ish?
Oh, hell if I know, Ross. Right come on. Now. Jeez, you know who you're talking to.
Mr. FYI's on it. He's good.
I got it. Don't worry.
So the new one was so fun that there was a party, I'm thinking, was it along the first base side? I don't even remember. It's been so long. But there's kind of a deck, a patio place up there. We didn't even make it off the patio and didn't pay attention to the game at all.
Do you hear what the White Sox did this year? Oh, I'm sorry, Kenny. Go ahead.
No, and as for Wrigley, we were there for an afternoon game before. I think it was before they installed lights, and Harry was still alive. We were along the third base side. We had pretty good seats, and you could see from where we were sitting the press box where Harry was. Well, seventh inning stretch comes up.
Yeah.
And during the bottom of the seventh, I started making my way over there, and I stood right underneath Harry Carey as he drunkenly led the crowd and take me out to the ball game. Because during, I don't know if people remember this, the old timers do.
Yeah.
But during the stretch, Harry would lead the crowd, and he is always, you know, about 20 beers in at that point, and the shirt was off. He'd be leaning out the window, and it was really, really cool just being that close to Harry.
In the summer, when I was a kid, I used to get home, or excuse me, during the school year, I would get home and try and flip on WGN to see if there was a Cubs game on. But in the summer, I would watch Cubs games on WGN, and I would just chuckle at Harry Carey. You talked about Harry being drunk, as he often was. Well, did you hear what the White Sox did earlier this year?
No.
So they hired Tony La Russa last year, who has had just issues with the drink, and recently had I think during the offseason or right before they hired him, he had been pulled over and got a DWI, or driving while intoxicated, whatever you want to call it. Well, the White Sox was either early last year or early this year named like a bar and drinking area after him.
The La Russa Lounge.
And right away, everybody's like, are you not paying attention to what's happening within your own organization? You probably shouldn't be naming liquor after this guy.
That was before you could get canceled for these little nonsensical little. That's just awesome. That's reeks of Chicago to me. That's straight up Austin.
Do you remember Harry in the 70s when he first started with the Cubs would broadcast from the outfield?
Yes.
And he'd take off his shirt. He'd have a pair of Bermuda shorts and socks. Yeah. And that was it. He'd be drinking a Budweiser, whatever they sponsored.
No, I think it was Bud.
Was it Old Style?
Chicago, Milwaukee.
I got you here. I don't want to make you feel old, but the new ballpark, Comiskey, opened in 1991.
Okay.
And they demolished the old one.
Maybe I wasn't with the roommate.
Did you guys know Mr. One of the Comiskeys? Do we go Kaminsky or Comiskey? I always butcher it.
Comiskey.
Okay, no, so Comiskey. I think it's the Comiskey was an original owner of the St. Paul Saints in the late 1800s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, they've always had ties.
His name is right here. I'm just going to click on it.
Yeah, click on it. They've always kind of had ties to St. Paul.
Oh. Didn't know that.
I learned that in the City of Baseball Museum.
Been to any East Coast ballparks?
I've not. I wish I was.
I was at the Old Vet in Philly, which was just a hellhole, toilet bowl, just the worst ballpark ever. It was an afternoon game, and it was very lightly attended. We went out to one of the outfields, it might have even been center, and went way up to the top where there was nobody at all. I mean, we were the only fans in that section. I lit up a Marlboro Red halfway through it, and I see way, 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 way down there the oldest usher in the entire world.
Coming for you.
Start working his way up the steps. About an inning and a half later, he gets up to me, tells me politely to put out my cigarette because there's no smoking up there, turns on his heel and starts back down. I had another cigarette killed before he made it all the way down to the bottom.
There's no smoking in the Metrodome.
Yeah.
Little Bob Casey.
And then Boston, we were at that ballpark. Suchere's right. That's a hellhole.
Yeah, see, I would like to get there, but I think my thoughts on Fenway would be very similar to Wrigley. I want to see it once. If I go back, cool, don't ever need to go back because it's so tiny, so condensed. The amenities aren't great.
But. And there was, at the time, this was in the 90s, there was a bar really close to Fenway, which would be, if you're a local, it'd be just like the CC Club. It was a really, really cool, ratty bar with a great jukebox and a lot of cool hipsters hanging out there. And that's where we actually spent more time there than we did in the ballpark really close by. And that's
just
it. I haven't been in the Texas. I haven't been there. Yankees.
No, me neither.
Haven't been there. Nowhere on the coast.
Dylan went to a couple. Who are they now? Are they Anna? No, they're California again. He went to a couple Angel games this year. Love that ballpark. He has not been to Dodger Stadium yet out in L.A., but he's planning it, but he hates the Dodgers, so he doesn't want to go. I should, just because I want to prove Ross is smart. Charlie Comiskey moved his Sioux City Cornhuskers to St. Paul, Minnesota, renaming the team the St. Paul Saints. So there you go, Ross.
Yeah, okay. Pretty
that
cool
was in
stuff.
1894.
Also, a fun fact that I knew, but when you see it, you kind of go, oh, that's crazy. In the mid-90s, when the Yankees purchased Darryl Strawberry from the St. Paul Saints, they paid, and this is in the Baseball Museum, Brian Cashman, who is now their GM, hard to believe in the mid-90s he was their assistant GM, so almost 30 years ago, he sent a note to the Saints, and the Saints have it posted, that basically it's like a two-paragraph note, but in the note it says, here is the $3,000 for the remainder of Darryl Strawberry's contract. So if you think about that, they probably paid Darryl Strawberry roughly $10,000 that season. I think that's so cool.
But he was clean, right?
Allegedly, he was there to get clean after being suspended, but I don't know if I buy that.
And after he came back to MLB, how'd he do?
I think he was
well
okay.
For the Yankees as a part-time ball player.
He
helped
was older.
Them with those first couple World Series that they when they started the run of World Series. Again.
What do you mean part-time ball player? I don't remember.
He wasn't a starter. He just DH'd some with the Yankees and he played some outfield. But there's a great book, by the way, Slouching Toward Fargo. You guys familiar with it?
No.
Neil Carlin about the Saints.
Oh, I know Neil Carlin
in that era.
Oh.
The only bad thing about that book is our buddy Patrick Royce. Neil is not kind to our buddy.
Oh, okay.
Casey.
Oh.
Yeah, he's very...
he doesn't get Patrick's bit, huh?
He doesn't get the bit at all, and all he hears is the negativity that Pat sometimes exudes about local teams.
Sure.
And he makes fun of, Pat was a large, large human being at that point. Neil constantly makes fun of that.
Really?
Neil wasn't very kind of him. It's a really good read, though, about that era of the Saints.
I think the Saints, not to turn this into a baseball podcast, but
I think we already
I've loved the St. Paul Saints. And I'll be honest, I have not necessarily loved the change to affiliated ball, but obviously I'm still going to support them. They have a great history of just players going from independent ball, getting signed into affiliated clubs, and then getting back to the majors, which I think is really cool. Caleb Thielbar, currently of the Twins, did it twice. He went from independent ball back to the majors, which I think is a cool story.
Did you know even better that Caleb is a huge Garage Logic fan?
Is he?
Because he grew up here in Minnesota.
Caleb, hello. I'm sure you're listening.
Yeah. I doubt it. Just
Caleb, so you're okay. So I go on these baseball trips. Okay, so this is
look at Kenny.
No, that's fine.
No, you'll love this story. This is actually I love when guys have humility and can have fun. So I used to take a lot of St. Paul Saints road trips with friends, go to Fargo, Sioux Falls, Sioux City, mainly just to get away and drink, I'll be honest. But it's kind of fun to watch baseball, obviously. Yeah. So one year, Caleb, this might be after he's already been with the Saints once, worked his way all the way up to the majors. Now he's back in independent ball. Well, Caleb, before a game, is like just tossing the ball. Might have been before or after the game, and one of my buddies tells Caleb, hey, yeah, you gotta call the Minnesota Twins. We got it because the Twins are just awful. We got to get you back in the majors. And Caleb just looks at us and says, I've been calling. Nobody's answering. I love that. And then, of course, a year or two later, he's back in the majors working his way through the minors again. But I love that humility. I've been calling. Nobody's answering.
In the early days of the Saints, I was a part of a morning show with a guy named Bob. And Bob and I were asked to throw out the first pitch, I guess, together. I don't know. And Bob had a pool party the day of that game.
Oh, no.
So there was a lot of pre-gaming. And yeah, we invited some listeners up. They just happened to be gals to the pool party. And Yatesy takes off early to get to the ballpark, and I follow, you know, 45 minutes later with these gals. And I get to the park, and the guys in charge who were going to, you know, help us out and guide us, sure, you know, walk us through, the be our assistants there, asked that maybe I should just sit in the audience because I had pre-gamed so much.
You know what, though? And
we actually ended up leaving that the game early. We went back to Bob's house and kept partying at the pool.
Well, you know.
It's probably good, though, because you don't want to embarrass yourself when you throw out a first pitch. You want it to be good, and I'm guessing you might not have been in any shape to have a decent
none
first
at all.
Pitch.
None at all. No.
If I may brag for a moment, when Garage Lodge, or when KSTP first got the Twins, Garage Logic, Joe Sucher was invited to throw out a first pitch, and he didn't want to because he didn't want to embarrass himself.
Right.
He knew that I had played ball, you know, in high school and college. He said, you want to? I said, God, yes. Are you kidding me? So I want to point out to TC Bear, I threw a perfect strike from the pitcher's mound.
Yeah.
I'd like to point that out.
And I know when I threw out the first pitch at a Saints game in like 2015, and I short hopped the plate. And I played baseball for years,
and
so I was embarrassed.
That was the first TC Bear, and he was a GLer.
Yes.
Yep. He followed us all on Twitter, and boy, he used to send me a lot of DMs via Twitter, and then something happened, and he got swept away, and now there's a new TC Bear.
Remember?
Let me throw one.
Oh, you go ahead, John.
I don't remember that, John. I was at that game. I don't remember you guys throwing that out because I have a story about the flyover later.
It wasn't the first game. It was not the first game. This was still in the Metrodome when the station first got the Twins.
Okay.
When the station first started announcing.
All right.
I do have another story to go with that. They were playing Texas at the time. They had a catcher by the name of Jared Saltalamacchia.
Yeah, Salty.
Me, Rook, Joe Souchere, and the lovely Angie Ludwig,
sure,
walked from right field to the mound. Texas is warming up on the right field lines, and Angie was receiving some attention from Mr. Saltalamacchia, if you know what I'm saying.
Really?
It was great, yeah. And she was all embarrassed and flustered. And
she wasn't
laughing.
Open to that kind
she
of
didn't,
attention?
She didn't. Yeah. She just was like, oh, yeah, you know. And the three of us are laughing like hyenas, of course.
You remember my story about opening day at Target Field, right? The very first opening day, we were standing out in that plaza area.
Yes.
And I think we were all together, and it was, you know, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. Yep. And we're waiting for the flyover, and here it comes, and Such is right next to me, and he's looking at his phone. I think he was trying to get it ready to take a video, but you know how Joe is with his phone and technology.
Oh, yeah.
And he's looking at it, and here they come, and his head down is, here they come, and now they're about a second, and they'll be flying over us, and here they come, and Joe is still looking down. I give him the biggest elbow you can possibly give him, knock him over a foot. He looks up just as they're going by.
Oh, my goodness.
Speeding away from us as he looks up.
Yeah. All right, I want to get to these the 55 great road trips here coming up in a second, but hunting season is upon us. Waterfall opened up last weekend. This means get yourself into DK Mag's Old Eight in New Brighton. DK Mag's
has all the firearms you need for hunting season, shotguns for all occasions, duck, geese, pheasant, grouse, crows, whatever. They've got that scatter gun you need, be it automatics, you know, even a single shot or a pump, whatever. Squirrel opener, that happened a couple of weeks ago. They have all sorts of plinkers, small caliber 22 rifles, even 22 pistols that will help you out there. And if you're into big game, they have it all from white-tail deer to caribou, elk, moose. You'll find that firearm that can make those long-range shots at DK mags, including the scopes and everything else. If you're going hunting or maybe you're going to the range, all you need is ammo, swing into DK mags. Both DK mags and Monticello Pawn and Gun have all the ammo you'd ever need. Plus, both locations have gunsmithing. Great selection, fair prices, a wonderful staff at both Monticello Pawn and Gun and DK Mags in New Brighton. Check them out. Website, dkmags.com. Okay, 55 great road trips. We're not going to do them all, obviously, but I was thrilled to find out the very first one. Do you see what the very first one is? Do you guys have this story open?
I'll pop it back open.
The Great River Road. Uh-huh. And I think we should all do that. Get on Highway 61 and just start heading south till you can't stand it anymore. I've made it down to the middle or the southern end of Iowa before I've took a left and went over to the East Coast. But it's a wonderful, wonderful drive, yeah.
If you keep going, isn't that where the crossroads are or close to that, right?
The ones Mississippi? That Robert Johnson was standing by?
Yeah, yeah.
Meet me at the crossroads, so. Crossroads.
Not that.
No, Ross. No, don't you know. Don't do that.
I love you two so much.
Either one of you guys big road trippers? I mean, don't tell me about going to Sioux Falls. And, John, I know you go home to Mandan all the time. But
yeah,
anywhere
that's
else?
About it.
Really?
I travel by road trip a lot, but it's typically somewhere in the Midwest to go watch some type of game. I did just drive to Winnipeg. I told you guys that. That was fun.
Oh, right. There's so many insanely good drives in this country. The one they mentioned here that I have highlighted is it's Highway 50 that evidently you can take from Ocean City, Maryland to Sacramento, California.
Wow. That's a drive.
US 50, so it's highway the whole time. And wouldn't that be cool? It's nothing but small towns the whole way. And there's nothing better. I mean, I don't mind the freeway because you can get up and go and get there. But if you really want to see the country, get on those two-lane highways. And in this story about US 50, they give a list, a link to the most charming small towns in every state. So I went right to Minnesota. I'll give you two guesses as to what the most charming town in Minnesota is. If you don't get this, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to punch you right in
is
the
it
nose.
Stillwater?
Thank you, Ross. Yeah. It's Stillwater. Yeah.
So are you reading that directly from the article that you did not pre-read?
You're absolutely right, McLean. That's how I roll. You know what I'd recommend and what has replaced Stillwater in my mind? Henderson. Henderson, Minnesota. It's on the Minnesota River. It's much smaller than Stillwater, and it is really cool.
Okay, so really? I honestly should do this because I have a aunt or great aunt. That's sad that I can't tell you that. Family member, we'll call it family member, who lives down in Henderson, a couple of them, and I don't think I've ever spent any meaningful time in Henderson.
Are you kidding me?
And I used to work in New Prague, which is a stone's throw, so I should check it out.
So our boss is from a small town really close to Henderson.
I don't want to give it away, but is he in Lexington?
No, it's...
It's not Vesely?
There's a dirt track in there.
It's not that important. I just always think I know, and I think it's Lexington. Then I say it, and people say that's wrong. Green Isle?
No, I'll open up a map.
I'm sure he loves us naming every city he may have lived in.
Henderson has this ride-in every Tuesday during the week where it's motorcycles. Arlington, by the way, is where he's from.
Thank you.
Where Tuesday evenings all summer long, motorcycles and cool old cars show up in Henderson and hang out, and it's quite the event. But I'm talking to Dan about Henderson, and he goes, you know, That used to be a town full of river rats and felons and scumbags. And if you really needed to get stabbed, you'd go to Henderson to get stabbed. Now, listen to this. He goes, a couple of gay guys moved in, set up residence, and started, they made it their job, their life's pursuit, to turn Henderson into what it is today. And all the residents, you know, they're all apathetic and they couldn't care less. And they're like, yeah, whatever. And I don't know if they ran for office, were on the council or mayors or whatever, but they managed to turn Henderson around. And it is the coolest little town you'll ever drive. Ross, I went through there accidentally earlier this spring, turned around and did three more laps. And it's not a town you can do laps in. You actually have to turn around and drive the same main street back and forth. And then we got out and walked around. It's a really cool little town.
Every time I go on a lot of my road trips, it often always winds us through small towns. And I always say a lot of these small towns, even like a Henderson, I would love to live in a town like that that's like just 20 minutes outside of the metro. You know, kind of be in my own little world, but close enough to everything. Yeah. One town I really love that you two both might be familiar with, they have some radio stations in town. It's right on the Minnesota-Iowa border. Decorah, Iowa is a great town.
Sure.
Also on the river, nice little downtown area. I love stopping in Decorah. I typically stop there once a year.
Yep.
The aforementioned Explore Minnesota that we talked about, they list Henderson as the third most charming city Main Street in Minnesota.
Okay. Stillwater, obviously, first, right?
Stillwater. No, Stillwater's two.
Duluth,
one? One is it's part of the Twin Cities, or I consider it part of the Twin
Cities. Plymouth, White Bear Lake?
Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Oh.
Excelsior.
Did you say Main Street?
Main Street, yeah.
Down on Main Street.
Jeez, God, why do we give him a chance
that
to
comes
say
from Main Street's from Sauk Center, isn't it? Isn't that the Sinclair Lewis book?
Yeah.
Huh?
I was singing. Singing.
You're looking at me funny.
Is Main Street the name of the book, though?
Oh, God.
It might be. Yeah,
take that out, Ross. I could be wrong.
Now I got to look again.
Glacier National Park. Have you guys been?
I just talked to a gentleman this past weekend at a diaper kegger who was just there, and I know plenty of people who have been there, and I want to go.
Yeah.
Diaper kegger? You not familiar?
What's a diaper?
To get into the party for the father-to-be, you have to bring diapers.
Wow. A lot of things going on out there I don't know anything about.
Yeah. Thank God those days are over for us, huh?
Those it is Main Street, days. Kenny, by Sinclair Lewis. So yeah. You are correct.
Glacier National Park, the Amtrak goes right through it. So if you want to do a train trip. But I've been told by friends who have taken that trip you get out of the train in the middle of Montana. It's up in the northern side of Montana, and you take a good look at those train tracks and how many spikes are missing and how many fish plates are gone, and it kind of makes you a little bit nervous. And they did have a big crash up there. I think it was last summer.
I didn't vet the list super thoroughly, but is Door County on there? Is Door County worth the trip? I've never done that.
It is on there. I was going to mention it later, maybe.
Sorry.
But my most memorable road trip included Glacier, and I was all alone. I had 2 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks off for the 4th of July, right? The 4th is over. All the family's gone home. I'm here at the farm. It's 7 in the morning, and I'm already soaked in sweat, and I haven't done a thing. That's how miserable it is here. And I'm thinking, I got a pocket full of money. I've got vacation money. I've got nothing to do. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and sweat for the next 2 weeks. I threw a bunch of crap in my truck and took off at about 9 a.m. Later that day, I'm going to say 3 o'clock, I was visiting the Lewis and Clark Fort Mandan. Right? That's what it was called, John, right?
It depends on where you were. Fort Lincoln or Fort Mandan?
No, it wasn't Lincoln. It was Fort Mandan.
Okay, then it's in.
And I made it just in time for closing, and then saw that, got back in the truck, made my way into Montana, and then for the next week, just drove around Montana and Wyoming all by myself. It was the coolest road trip ever because you don't have anybody asking you questions. Why are we stopping here? Can we stop here? I have to go to the bathroom. Let's do this. We should go to a museum. I sure am hungry. Blah, blah, blah. You just do whatever the hell you want. In my case, it was getting up at 4 a.m, getting on the road as it was getting light, and doing whatever I want all day, and then finding a hotel. Secret to doing road trips, you can get a hotel room at around 4 or 5 in the afternoon because people haven't come off the freeway yet. And that's how I rolled. No reservations whatsoever. Ate in all the horrible, awful restaurants that I could never eat in otherwise. And it was just fantastic. Yep. Just a week on the road all by myself in the mountains.
You know what? That kind of sounds like heaven at this point.
Oh,
I John, hate to say it, but it does.
And we've done that previously, separate vacations. I can't recommend that enough, let me tell you, because I would send her away, and then my son and I would hop in the truck, load up the sleds, and go to Montana or something, snowmobiling. Sure. Yeah.
What did you once tell this podcast? The key to a happy relationship is to never see your significant other.
Spend as much time apart as possible. Oh, that's look true. At this. Door County, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Oh, huh.
The thumb of a peninsula surrounded by Green Bay on one side and Lake Michigan on the other features dozens of worthy road trip destinations, whether you're into sea cave kayaking, no, zip lining, no, eating half-pound pecan rolls, no, or bellying up to one of the many tasty fish boils, harkening back to the area's Scandinavian heritage.
Gross.
I've never been to Door County, and now that I've cold read this for the first time, I'm not going.
Yeah, if that's what you're selling to me outside of the scenic views, I don't need to go. And I'll also point out, anytime you talk about fish, like fish fries or seafood,
you're out.
I don't care because I won't eat anything that swims in its own poop. So
fair enough.
I care less.
California's giant sequoias. Doesn't that sound a little cliche? That's going to be you and everybody else, right? In park traffic on a highway. I don't think so.
It's gorgeous, though, according to everybody that's seen it.
These are the trees, right?
Yeah, the big ones.
Big ass trees.
Yeah, I think my sister and brother-in-law just
big
did
ass
that.
Trees.
Grand Teton National Park. I've done this one.
That's
like
cool.
5 times. And it's where Jackson is, or people call it Jackson Hole. Here's my recommendation to you. Don't stay in Jackson Hole. Because normally a hotel room that's $120 a night in Jackson is about $400 a night. It's unreasonably overpriced. But it is incredible, incredible view. I recommend going east of Jackson to Togedy. It's a mountain resort up in Togedy, and on clear days when it's not foggy or clouds on the ground, you can see the Tetons just fine. And Togedy, by the way, a great place to go snowmobiling. They have great, great trails and all the free riding you could ever want right off the trail. So it's perfect.
You know, absent from that list, I was shocked and surprised by this. How did the biggest ball of twine in the world not make it onto this road trip list?
I'll tell you why, Ross. Because it's bleeping stupid.
It is.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I remember when that ball of twine used to sit outdoors. That's how old I am. It's now got its own building.
Yeah. When I saw it maybe 15, 20 years ago, it was in like, it was still outside, but it was in like an encasement. Is it no longer in that?
It's in some little shed.
You know, you guys will hate me for this, but the only really good part about that biggest ball of twine is Weird Al's biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. You ever hear that?
Do we have to?
No, I won't sing it to you guys, but I will send it to both of you. It's actually brilliant because it's not even really a parody. He wrote the song, and it's fantastic.
North Shore, we've all done that, right? We don't even have to talk about that. The one that I want to do, and you know what? Let's close out here, but what is the one road trip you guys have always dreamed about doing? The one, and it just seems so out of your reach that you don't think you'll ever be able to do it.
I'd like to follow the Twins out west, staying with that baseball theme.
So driving the whole way?
Yep, or even out east, one of the coasts, you know, when they do like the Yankees and Red Sox and Blue Jays all in a road trip, or maybe they go out west and they do Oakland, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, the California Angels. I'd love to do that and drive the entire thing.
You're not so much interested in scenery and great vistas as you are having something to do and baseball and whatever. Yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah, because to me, the drive is the relaxing part. I'll find cool stuff to see.
I would love to, West Coast-wise, and this is very reachable, so it's someday I may do it, the Pacific Coast Highway and that whole area.
That's on the list, yep.
All along the
wouldn't
ocean.
It be great?
Dylan's done it, and he keeps telling me how great it is.
So. Seattle all the way down to San Diego.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Perfect. Absolutely.
If you ever see Seattle, tell her I say hi.
Okay, that's not. The one I want to do, and I'm going to have to reserve this for an entire summer, is the Klondike Highway to Alaska.
Ooh.
And then drive around Alaska for about 2 or 3 weeks and then drive home.
Okay, so I was not thinking in that realm. But yes, I would love to. Kenny, you won't let me join you, so I won't. But I would love to make the drive from here.
Quiz.
Through Canada A and Alaska.
Money not an object. What vehicle you taking? Part of that road is gravel, Roscoe.
Yeah.
Oh.
How about a Hummer?
Take a hot rod.
How about a Hummer? Just to stick out like a sore thumb.
Can you take a Land Rover of some sort?
A Jeep Grand Cherokee?
Yeah, something like that.
It's got to be an SUV with four-wheel drive and room to sleep in the back, right? Yeah. You've got to be able to pull over and crawl into the back and sleep or camp, because there's a good chance you're going to end up in the middle of nowhere at 2 in the morning.
You did not like my Hummer response. I'm assuming you're anti.
I'm not anti-Hummer. It's just think practical.
Well,
because you're going to have to carry all your crap. You're going to have to sleep comfortably. You're going to have to haul food and whatnot.
Yeah, but can't you do that all in a Hummer? It's gigantic.
I think so, but I don't want anything that I need a ladder to get in and out.
Well, fair point. I just think every time I see a Hummer in Minnesota or in like the continental U.S. for the most part, I just think it's kind of a ridiculous vehicle because it's not practical.
You're a city kid and you drive into like a 30-year-old Saturn POS with all the warning lights going on. That's all jealousy talking is what
it's
that
a 9-year-old crappy
it's jealousy.
Crappy Dodge.
Ross, get yourself an Escalade. Chevrolet Escalade. Old SUV.
You know the day I'll be able to do that? Is the day this podcast has 20 sponsors.
Yeah. That isn't going to happen.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
You ready to get out of here, Kenny?
By the way.
Yeah, all right.
Hang on. The Crossroads. Intersection of Highway 61 and Highway 49 in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
The song that I was singing with that Bone Thugs and Harmony, who did that? Meet me at the Crossroads.
We were talking about Crossroads.
I went down to the Crossroads.
Slash Cream.
Tried to catch 10 seconds. I went down to the Crossroads, tried to catch her.
Sold to the devil.
Yeah. That's enough. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop. New episodes drop every week wherever you get your podcasts.
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me October 4th for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms.